Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Miss anything from your favorite ESPN Louisville show? Check out the Podcast Center on the brand new ESPN Louisville smartphone app or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Welcome back to the V Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. And I just want to make sure everyone's ready. PJ, get ready.
Yep. What am I getting ready for?
Well, first off, I mean, the season's tipping off today.
By the way, I looked at bracketology. Ooh. Like you told me to. So
okay, all right. We'll get into that. We'll play a little Chris Mack sound. But not only is it the season tip off, Champions Classic going on, Louisville in action with Southern, Bellarmine in action with Purdue, but it's also something incredible happening at our friends at Genesis Diamonds. It's the biggest and last store-wide sale of the year. It's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days of extraordinary deals. 25 up to 35% savings on some of these items. Genesis rarely has a sale. Their everyday prices are lower than anyone's to begin with. So when they do this, it's the real deal. Special markdown for every category: rings, earrings, pendants, bands, bracelets, colored gemstones. You'll get the Genesis Diamonds value price plus an extra discount of 20-25 up to 35%. And the selection is like double the norm. Genesis flew in their designer partners with trunk loads of new fashion jewelry for this event. All new styles and designs in both fashion and bridal jewelry. And every piece is on sale. Let me repeat that. Every piece will be on sale. On top of all this, you can take advantage of 0% interest financing. It's 3 days of mind-blowing savings this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Day, the final sale of the year and the biggest sale of the year, exclusively at Genesis Diamonds and luxury pre-owned Rolexes. Shelbyville Road Plaza C store for details. Definitely go check out our friends Wendy and company over there. I might have to go over there because I'm not going to get that piece of jewelry just yet, but Jeanette's been pretty patient with me, PJ, so I feel like she deserves something. So you know, something nice and sparkly, and definitely you know, I'm also kind of playing the long game, PJ.
Yeah, you should. You should. How old are you?
32. So I go there. Whatever. Go there. Do maybe a little recon for that one piece of jewelry. That'll happen eventually, hopefully. But get her something nice. And then play the long game of, now that I've gotten her something nice at Genesis, she'll get me something nice from Genesis. Because at some point, I'd like a Rolex. I feel like every fella needs a nice timepiece.
You can't find one right now.
Really?
I tried.
Wow. They have them at Genesis Diamonds.
Yeah, they have them, but like there's a scarcity for them right now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is.
That makes it all the more impressive that they have them.
So yeah, there's a scarcity to try to find Rolexes. You're better off trying to find you a Tag Heuer or an Omega.
They have all three of those. Else.
Yeah, they have all three. But I've always wanted a presidential gold Rolex.
I was going to say, if there's one guy here, I'm not blowing smoke at you. If there's one guy here that could rock a Rolex, it would be you, Mike.
No, I mean, Drew has a mean Tag Heuer. He bought it, I think, like 2 years ago.
Drew would be second on my list on fellas that would rock.
He was like, "What do you think about this?" I said, "I think you should buy a Rolex." He goes, "Yeah, but they're hard to find. Like, and this has been something."
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that there was so much scarcity. So if you want to get your significant other a luxury pre-owned Rolex, by all means, check out Wendy and Company over at Genesis. I did not know that. Like, I know that does it have to do with the whole world shutting down and everything? Because I know all kinds of supply lines have been messed up.
Yeah, I'm reading the last text that came through.
Okay. What did it say?
UPS, I'm going to let you read it. It's not for the air.
UPS so, jobs text yeah, line 437-9680.
It's literally the last text. I'll let you read that. There you go. Highly inappropriate. But to that texter, sir, you are right about engagement. You are right about engagement, and I appreciate that joke. Thank you very much.
that was pretty strong.
Yes, that was coming out swinging.
There was a G-rated version of that he said before that. Nick said doo-doo. I did say doo-doo. Yes. So during but then the other stuff I'm not going to say. That's awesome. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Another text saying Nick said doo doo. Jeez. Okay, guys. 437. I know it's sports radio. We're all a little sophomoric, but gotta love it. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Okay, PJ. I want to spend like 5 minutes on this.
Yeah,
and
go
then,
ahead.
And then let us get to actual sports, and I say that with love because I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Okay,
but it is sports entertainment.
By the way, before you go through there, this guy said I've been on the list for a Rolex for about 5 years. So
damn,
yeah. So he said you will pay through the nose for a Rolex right now if you can find one, and that's why I was saying what I was saying. So there we go. Appreciate you, good sir. But what were you saying about wrestling?
Wow. Okay. I had no idea. See, this is why I need you. Everyone needs a Perrin Johnson, and I'm not saying that, but like that you need a token black friend. I'm not saying it like. That.
Watch the text line flip that one.
You need a Perrin Johnson in your life because you're a Renaissance man. You look. I'm usually covered in nacho cheese. Like I do clean up nice. I can be an adult. You've seen it.
By the way,
you've helped make me an adult. But see, Perrin knows that there's a Rolex shortage. Right. Like I process love him to death. I don't think he would know that.
Well, actually,
he might, but Jack and Patty, I don't think so.
Yeah. But what do you want to talk? Yeah, Rolexes are at a premium right now. There's a lot of things that are premium right now because they're just not making enough stuff. And, you know, with everything going on with COVID, it just kind of made things kind of weird and nutty. But anyway, what were you saying about wrestling?
So last night, I know you couldn't make it, but you know, you were missed. You were definitely, you know, we would have loved to have you, but a lot of the ESPN Louisville crew went to WWE Raw.
No, I saw them.
Yeah, and it was...
Even Andy, I think, went.
Andy was there. Andy brought one of his friends. Strebel was there with his kids.
I knew Strebel was going to be there, two things I guaranteed myself. I knew Strebel was going to be there, and I knew Rummage was going to be there. Like no bones about it. Make no bones about it. But those two,
that you're 100% right, and I'm laughing because I mean it was Patty, myself, Jack Moon, ESPN Louisville alumni, Scott Kennedy, ESPN Louisville alumni were there. Phil Baker was there.
Oh, Scott Kennedy, that's my dog, man. Shout out to Scott, man.
Ran into Scott on the way out, and he had a legit replica belt, you know, one of the ones that costs like, you know, $500.
He has like the big one. He has the real one.
The big old school WCW WWE World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold one. It was awesome. So saw him. Our buddy Jeremy Noe was there. Mark Blankenbaker, and he brought a friend. It was a great crew, but it was funny because it was almost like there was Team 680. With, you know, Sweeney and Strebs, and then on the other side, Team 93.9 with Blank and Rummage.
Right.
And then all the producers, we were right in the middle. But it was, I'm sure they'll get into more of this on the take, so tune in when that starts at 3 o'clock here on ESPN 680-1057. But Jack comes, and he's wearing his musty-ass Chicago Cubs World Series hoodie.
Right.
And I mean, look, I ain't chirping him. I was repping my team, too. I had my New York Rangers, you know, jersey hoodie on, too. So, you know, fine. But we sit down, and Kellen immediately starts chirping Jack about his hoodie. He just goes, yeah, your team sucks now. Like, the second Jack sits down, and I was like, you are definitely James's kid. And I say that with love. I was like, and he was like, yup. And so I was like, well, I mean, Jack had barely sat down and started digging into his chicken tenders, and Kellen was already chirping him. And I was like, I freaking love this kid.
Jeez.
He was hilarious.
Just coming out swinging.
Absolutely. But it was a good time. But we were... If you have a chance to go see a wrestling show,
I've been.
Do it. I like even with what I'm about to say, but I mean, Andy and I were talking in the back. It really not to be that guy. It ain't the same, man. It ain't the same. And it ain't the same from when it was when Raw was here last time, which was 11 years ago.
Of a difference? And when you say that's it's different, what is the biggest difference maker for you when you see it?
It's just, it feels generic and almost stale. And they have great talent. Like, I mean, the guys that they have.
Is it too saturated?
No. Well, I would say maybe the WWE product is, because there's so much of it. And yeah, now that AEW, and now they have a ton of shows. So yeah, I mean, it is saturated. But the thing is, like, it used to be saturated, but like different. Like SmackDown had a unique feel to it. Raw had a unique feel to it. It was very much like the NL and the AL. Like, and look, I know before everyone talks to me, wrestling's fake. I get it. It's sports soap opera. I understand.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thank you. Like, I know that you probably also like to tell people secrets about Santa Claus. You're you know, okay, I get it. Thank you. Like, but they all had a different identity.
Right.
And then somewhere along the line, they started all kind of being the same. So it was okay to be overly saturated with it.
You want to know what the problem is? Okay, so I want to hear what you think the problem is. What's the number one problem with wrestling?
I don't want to overly simplify it as saying that it doesn't. It needs to not be so. It needs to not be PG anymore. But it needs some form of identity.
I think
everything just feels watered down.
I think, you know what it is? I think here's what the problem is. I think Vince McMahon has stretched out the product. So you have the Monday Night Raw. I don't watch it. But you had the Monday Night Raw, and then you had, was it on something like on Thursday, they got something else too?
It was SmackDown, but SmackDown's moved all over the place.
Yes, so that's the problem. So for me, like, Raw was a thing. Raw was like Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Raw was a flagship.
It was
the Diener show.
Yeah, it was Monday Night Football for wrestling. And even when I was a kid, when Raw first came out, like, I really said it, I would go play basketball. And that would be like, okay, I'm going to shower, I'm going to eat dinner, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch Raw. But now, it just feels watered down. And I think, for me, it's two things. I think, one, Vince McMahon has stretched it too thin. And the other side of that is this for me. They need to have better writers.
Yeah.
They need to go to Hollywood and go get the writers. Go get some writers. Go get some people that can really write some good storylines. Because now it's too much redundancy in what you've seen. Like, you've seen 100%. This movie before. You're tired of it. It's boring. It's not fun. It's not what it should be. But it's they've watered down the product because they're making so much more money and they're being cheap where it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like if they recreate the storyline and do a better job with the storyline, they can get away from all the other stuff. I mean, all the other stuff will take care of itself. And when I say get away from the other stuff, I mean their problems. On why the product is what it is when people are frustrated with it. Yeah, however, I still love it.
Storylines will create identity.
Yeah, they
like, I mean, that's I feel like that's totally
think
fair.
About it. Like people, like you got people that have been doing Days of Our Lives for like 20 years. Like soap operas are interesting and people watch them obviously still, right? Like Days of Our Lives are still on air. I don't know how the hell it is.
Yeah, God bless it, right?
But why? Because they have good writers. And if you're a good writer, you got a good job. You got a good setup. And I think that can really change the game for Vince McMahon. However, he's probably not going to listen to me. And the question is, how much does Vince McMahon feel that his audience will appreciate better writing? I don't know if he cares enough about it to spend that money to focus on that.
I mean, it just seems like they have done it's the old wheel of choices, and if there's 10 choices and one of them is the perfect solution,
right,
eight of them in between are okay, and then the one at the end is the worst solution, the worst choice.
Yes,
they have consistently hit that one. They've alienated fans. The writing, like you said, is poor. They went PG to get
To a younger audience, which is a larger, to scale it out, and they're thinking about money. So when you think about money, you're thinking about scaling. When you think about scaling, who can you include quicker? Adults are going to be who they are. They're going to like buy the wrestling packages, not buy the wrestling packages, whatever. But children, you can get them because they're not going to think in terms of depth and the quality of what they're watching, unlike adults.
Yeah, no, and they had marketable children stars.
Yes,
Rey Mysterio, John Cena. I mean, Big E and the New Day definitely have a little bit of power, but I mean, the major merchandise guys, the Jeff Hardys, the Cena, the Rey Mysterios, they're still there, but in a lesser capacity. So it almost feels like the people that are moving the most merch are the edgier stars geared towards the older people.
100%.
And so it's sort of like they can't get out of their own way. They don't know what they're trying to do.
But I live for Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker.
Oh my God,
Nick.
Yes.
I live for them. I live for The Ultimate Warrior. I live for Bret the Hitman Hart. I go that far back with the stuff. And now
I remember being on the bus and us talking about, what was it, Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Kane and Undertaker. And we were all like, one of the guys got the pay-per-view and he was like, Undertaker had to, you know, tombstone him 3 times. We were all like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then you also had a viable competitor in WCW with NWO. And right now, wrestling's great because it has that in AEW, but it doesn't feel like much of a competition. Like, WWE is winning just because it's the established brand, but AEW is flying up the rankings. I mean, it's just there. I think there's numbers occasionally, and look, you can skew ratings to be everything.
Right.
You know, you can make anybody look good with ratings, and I'm not saying that they're not worth it. It's definitely a viable measuring stick, but you can find any show that has a certain demographic. Left-handed Puerto Ricans, this show kills it. You gotta
be careful nowadays. Everybody's offended by something nowadays.
That's a good point.
But
AEW's beating WWE right now in certain key demographic roles. They haven't, you know, it's not a flawless victory, but they've already won, and WWE won't acknowledge them. They're releasing all kinds of talent, like quality people that now are gonna go over there to AEW.
Yeah.
And they've structured contracts so poorly that people are making, I mean, that was the best thing about the Monday Night Wars. Who was going to show up on each person's show? Who was going to defect? And you think, like, they learned with the 90-day no-competes. They haven't.
So
now people are popping up in AEW, and it's awesome.
So this texter points out to something, and I want to ask you the question that they text a statement, but I want to ask you this as a question.
But did Nick burp? I don't think I did.
No, this one right here. The problem is having too many pay-per-views versus 5 to 6 years ago, they would create more buildup for their larger scale events. So do you think that is the case? Do you think that, because I remember the lead up to SummerSlam. I remember the lead up to SummerSlam as a kid, like, religiously.
Yeah.
I remember it. I looked forward to it. My dad thought I was stupid for wanting to purchase SummerSlam, but he did it for me every year. And it was great, and it was amazing.
So like, Royal Rumble was mine, because, like, the Royal Rumble kicked off, you know, the road to WrestleMania, and that was always my, like, favorite pay-per-view.
Right.
But and Survivor Series is coming up, and it's, I mean, I do think, yeah, I feel like that's one of the major ones.
Yeah.
That, like, the oversaturation of pay-per-views. Because if you have the long-term storytelling, I mean, back in the day, man, like, WrestleMania, and we're spending way too much time on this, but it's fun. The text line's lit up and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes hand in hand. I mean, this is, like, the frosting in the sports world.
100%.
Like, it is what it is. But
like, now, you know what wrestling is to me now? It's no longer, I don't want to keep going down the road of wrestling, but wrestling is this for me. All wrestlers are trying to do, hey, I just need to make it to the show.
Right.
Prove I can act enough and keep on improving my acting so I can get the hell out of wrestling. Batista did it.
John Cena
was like, I'm out. I'm tired of walking around with bad knees and my back hurting and people beat me up.
Yeah. The Rock is literally top three biggest movie star in the world right now.
He should literally write a book. Two wrestlers, like, how the hell you get out of wrestling?
Right.
Because that's what he did. And he makes more money now and sits at home 9 to 10 times out the year. So I'm really fascinated by that. But I want to go ahead and say this, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to the people about this.
One last punctuation.
Okay, what you got?
Because Survivor Series is coming up. It'll be a fun little way to dismount off of this.
Right.
I literally could wax poetically for hours about wrestling. I love wrestling. It's in a very unique state right now, the business, both good and bad. But this texter says, you're familiar with Survivor Series, right?
To a degree, but not fully.
Okay. Like, SummerSlam, you know, you usually was the culmination of the you know, the summer storylines. WrestleMania, the kickoff of, you know, that was the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Royal Rumble, obviously, had the Royal Rumble match. That's the highlight of that. But Survivor Series, there would be Survivor Series matches where it would basically be like 5-on-5 teams.
Right.
And it's now kind of evolved to where it's like a Team SmackDown versus Team Raw,
right?
And then the two champions from each show will face off. So it's strictly a it's a brand battle, basically.
Okay.
So this texter is asking, Survivor Series style matchup, Team 680, Team 93.9 The Ville, who would be the teams and then who would win?
You know,
And I feel like that could be
a
lot of
fun. I believe the undercards would have to be Rummage. No, the main event would be Rummage and Round Daddy. Round Daddy and Rummage would have to be the main event.
So those are the two champions facing off?
They would be the champions facing off. My undercards would be Sweeney versus Ennis. And you almost couldn't do 93.9. And then I would do Grossman versus Patty Ice. And then after that,
What team are you on?
I would do... I would like to wrestle Drew, but it wouldn't be no fun, so we had to put him against Phil. So, because I would like to take Drew off. I would like to take Drew off the top rope, and that would be this because he would fly. It would be fun. But anyway.
He'd be a high flyer. Yes. Yeah.
Put him through a table. You know, whatever.
You're doing the whole pay-per-view, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we need the teams. You need five guys from 680 against five guys from 93.
Who am I going to wrestle?
Well, you could be part of. That's what I'm saying. You're on one of the teams.
No, I'm not wrestling.
What team are you?
On any team. I'm going to be sitting back watching this unfold because I don't like to hurt anymore, Nick. So I'm done with those types of things.
It's all hypothetical. We're not really putting anyone through a chair.
It's hurting me as I think about it as we speak.
All right. Well, we'll take a break.
I'll tell you what. I'll take on Luke Hancock. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
There we go.
See, that's a good undercard. Yes.
And then, this is so tough. And then we'll bring in a wild card. We'll do Terrence Farley versus Dan Issel. The young versus the old. Like, you know, because they're both 6'10", and I don't know anybody else that's big enough to deal with Dan Issel. You know what I mean?
That's great. Well, it could be a tag team. I mean, it could be him and Pratt.
Yeah,
you know, the Luminaries. That's their tag team. The Luminaries versus,
and then I get Ellis too to go with like Ellis Miles and Terrence Farley versus Issel and Pratt, and then we'll go from there. And that's all I got. That's all I got on my list.
I'm gonna write this the entire Lance McGarvey texting us. He says the Soccer City count for 680. Well, if that counts for 680, and that's a viable point,
yes.
Then maybe Scotty D should count for 93.9 or the Gardening Show. that's on Saturday morning.
You know. So here's the thing: Diener and Scotty both run a ton,
right?
So like you should see who could run the longest.
It's just wrestling. It's not a race. It's not a race.
Have them run to the match, like make it like a 5K. Like, you know, and then fight in the ring, make it interesting.
All right, I'm gonna write this pay-per-view and we'll discuss it towards the end of the show. So we need to take a bottom of the hour break.
Yes,
we'll come back, talk maybe react to a Chris Mack sound.
Yeah, we're gonna get into Chris Mack sound, and by the way,
and then Neil Greenberg will join us
and then we'll do that as well. I don't want the people to know I was gonna get Reese Gaines on, but because his contract's not finalized, we had to cancel that, and we will make that happen another time. But so Reese wanted to come on. We wanted to chat a little bit about not only just what's going on here, what his role is going to be. I feel like people will want to really know some details about that. I can go into some of that myself when we come back from break, and then talk to him a little bit about just what he's seen, what he's been doing over the years, and how much the game has evolved since he was in college. But unfortunately, we couldn't get him on. But I will go into some of that, and then we will have our guy. His name is
Neil Greenberg. Neil Knuckles Greenberg from the Washington Post. He'll talk a little college basketball, can talk some hockey, and he can also give us some NFL. So we'll do all that.
So we will do all those things, but we're going to pay some bills right now, right here after the break.
Yes, sir. It's the V Show. Perrin Johnson, Nick Falvano in for Bobby V on ESPN 680-1057.
For years, Tyler Mountain Water has helped us here at ESPN Louisville, and now they want to help you. Tyler Mountain Water is now featuring residential water delivery. They can deliver 5-gallon bottles and water coolers to your home today, whether it be spring, purified, distilled, or alkaline water. In fact, for any new residential customer, when you sign up, they'll knock $50 off your first month. Visit them online today, TylerMountainWater.com. That's TylerMountainWater.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll be a part of an industry-leading team that's moving the world forward. You'll earn up to $21 per hour keeping packages moving in the warehouse, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free, and which now includes a $200 weekly attendance bonus for those individuals that decide to work the day sort. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Is your bedroom, sunroom, or room over the garage too hot in the summer, maybe too cold in the winter? BJ Heating and Cooling, your local factory authorized Bryant dealer, has teamed up with Bryant Duckless Equipment, whatever it takes to make that room enjoyable again. Bryant mini splits are quiet, efficient, and avoid the installation of bulky ductwork. Give BJ Heating and Cooling a call today to schedule your free estimate and get 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Joint pain relief doesn't have to mean drugs and surgery. Now there's a better alternative that patients are raving about. Hey, it's Bob Valvano from my friends at QC Kinetics. Local medical professionals using natural biologic treatments. Highly concentrated healing properties from your own body put directly into the affected joint. Restoring and repairing damaged tissue the way your body was designed to heal. If you're tired of the band-aid solutions like drugs and steroids and you really want to avoid surgery, you need to check out QC Kinetics. Regenerative, restorative, natural treatments for knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, pain in your hips. Don't continue to suffer, and don't go in for surgery until you check this out. See if you're a candidate. QC Kinetics. Call 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636. No surgical pain relief with lasting results. 502-219-4636.
Download the new ESPN Louisville app. Search ESPN Louisville for streaming, podcasts, and the latest program schedule.
You could hardly rub two nickels together, but got married anyway.
Because love can't wait.
She believed in you when no one else would.
Brings joy into your life like only she could.
Today, she's your only need. I'm Hank Davis.
And I'm Ashley Davis. This Christmas, tell her with a gift of something truly precious from Davis Jewelers.
We're Louisville's largest fine jeweler, with more ways to say I love you this Christmas than any place else.
From case after case of legendary designers, including Marco Bichigo, Roberto Coyne, Judith Ripka, David Yurman, and dozens more.
To those diamond classics like martini stud earrings, diamond bracelets, and pendants.
Maybe it's that larger 2, 3, or 4 carat diamond she's always dreamed of.
It's right here, right now, at Davis Jewelers.
Because love can't wait.
Davis Jewelers, Louisville's largest fine jeweler. From anywhere in Kentuckiana, we're at Forest Green Boulevard, just off North Hurstbourne Parkway, and at davisjewelers.com.
It's time to explore spirit barrel-aged wines from Robert Mondavi Private Selection. Each wine brings together meticulous winemaking with the time-honored tradition of aging fine spirits in oak casks. Try unique bourbon barrel-aged Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, rum barrel-aged Merlot, and rye barrel-aged Red Blend. Support local retailers and get delivery or pick up spirits barrel-aged wine from Robert Mondavi Private Selection today. Please enjoy our wines responsibly. 2021 Robert Mondavi, Acampo, California.
Kentucky basketball is back. And when the Cats play, we're talking about it right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Pre-game coverage of the Champions Classic is tonight at 6:30, including the national call of Kentucky and Duke at 9 o'clock. And then directly following the game, join James Strebel and Jason Entz for the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Postgame Show. We're the first place that will take your calls, texts, and hear live from John Calipari. If it's Kentucky basketball, we talk about it here on ESPN Louisville and the ESPN Louisville app.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. It's ESPN 680-1057, the V Show on a game day Tuesday here. A whole lot of action tonight. College basketball is back, and we have it all covered right here on ESPN Louisville coming up tonight. We'll have Pops' call. It'll be the Champions Classic right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. The national call, it'll be Pops with Mark Kestisher. You can hear live play-by-play of Kansas and Michigan State, as well as Duke and Kentucky beginning at 6:30 right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. As soon as that one goes final between the Cats and Dukies, it'll be the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife UK postgame show. As that one goes final here on ESPN 680, 105.7, will be James Strebel, Jason Entz, two guys that I think would be on the Team 680 Survivor Series team. We'll see.
Strebel's dangerous. And the reason why I say Strebel's dangerous is because, like, Strebel has a mean streak to him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when he's fired up, like, I can see him, like, really, like, you know, he's a guy you might want to take with you in the alley if you're going to be in a bad situation.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why, seriously, like, you're right.
I like his energy.
The
I love
champion the versus champion. Currently, I feel like the champion on 680 is Strebs, and the champion over on 93.9 is Rummage. So the two of them would lock horns in a Survivor Series champion versus champion matchup. But then filling out the teams, that's going to be the tricky part. But I do think Scotty D is going to have to be over on 93.9 The Ville, because Bellarmine basketball is going to be over on 93.9 The Ville. ESPN Louisville will be your flagship again this year for the Knights. The Knights are on the road tonight at Purdue. Pre-game coverage will begin at 6:45. Tip
what is
off
the
7.
What's the spread on that game?
I don't know. You know, pull that up for me if you don't mind.
I am going to work on that right now as you keep on going, good sir.
Yeah, pre-game coverage is at 6:45. Tip off 7 over on 93.9 The Ville. You can also hear that on the ESPN Louisville app. If we're still having connection issues, by the way, on the 680 side, if we are, feel free to hop over on 105.7 on the FM side, the ESPN Louisville app. We'll have the live stream. We also have the live stream on ESPNLouisville.com as well as TuneIn. So all that and a lot of ways you can listen to us. And Louisville will host Southern tonight to just cover all our bases. Miller Lite Louisville postgame coverage will begin with Ethan Moore around 11 as that game goes final on 93.9 The Ville on the ESPN Louisville app. It'll be the first place that can take your calls and texts, and you're here live for filling in coach Mike Pegues. What's his official title? I don't want to say interim, but acting coach, I guess. Acting head coach Mike Pegues will take that press conference. So yeah, we got a ton of good stuff here on ESPN Louisville. And I also want to give a shout out to our friends at GE Appliances. They're hiring full time for all shifts. Join the manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. How you doing? That's a nice little chunk of change. Apply today at makeitattheparkcom. I'm going to call our buddy Neil Knuckles Greenberg, get him on the line. What was that spread for the Bellarmine game, PJ?
It is 23 tonight.
23.
Do you bet Bellarmine do you bet Purdue to cover?
I don't want to sound like, you know, being a homer for the Knights, but I feel like they could cover that spread. I feel like I might take Scotty D in the points there.
I like Bellarmine in the points. Scotty's a good coach. I really like Bellarmine in the points. I don't know about you all out there, but I really like Bellarmine in the points.
Text that. What are the spreads? Go through all of them if you can.
What do we have
for the Champions Classic?
If I had to do a parlay, Texter, telling us the signal is fine and clear in the car.
Fantastic.
Appreciate you. But if I had to look at the games tonight, since you want me to give you the rundown of what I see, and let me go ahead and see. Okay, we got Mount Saint Mary's at number 4 Villanova. I like Villanova in the points. I go ahead and bet Villanova against Mount St. Mary's, and I take Villanova in the points. Next game we got Akron and Ohio State. I stay away from this game. If you remember John Gross, he was the coach at Illinois before the Coach Greenwood that is there now. They had that great year last year, but they came up short in the postseason. And John Gross is at Akron. Ohio State is probably going to win, but they're going to be in a dogfight for most of the game. I'd stay away from the Ohio State-Akron game just because it makes me nervous. Central Connecticut and UConn. I like UConn. I like them straight up. I don't like them in the points. 34 is a lot to cover. They're probably going to put kids in at the end of the game with 5 to 6 minutes to go, which might bring it down to 25. I stay away from that game. Michigan State-Kansas. I like Kansas in the points because Michigan State lost 3 other top 4 scorers last year, either to graduation or the draft. So that's how I feel about that. We've already told you the Bellarmine game. Texas Southern, Oregon. I like Oregon in the points. It's only 20. It's minus 20 and a half. I would go with Oregon. Tennessee Martin against Tennessee. The spread is minus 35, Nick.
That's a lot to cover.
Just
so much.
That's a lot.
I don't know.
I know the people in Vegas are great, but that's a lot to ask.
If this is pool, that's a shot with a lot of felt. Yes. A lot of green in between. I don't know, man.
Yes.
And then Kentucky and Duke. That's 3-point spread. That'll be
I
don't know.
Game,
I've gone back and forth on that.
I don't see. Here's the thing. The problem with me is when I look at this game and I look at Kentucky, I know Ty Washington is going to be as good as advertised. We've seen that before. The question is, can the Wheeler kid and and the Grady kid be as good as advertised? I think the kid from Davidson, Kellen Grady, I think he can be something really special for Kentucky. I'm not sure to the degree of what. I'm not 100% sure yet. I got to see them. I got to see more sample size for that one.
All right. Well, let's pick the brain of our sports C3PO, Neil Knuckles Greenberg, at N Greenberg on Twitter. He's from the Washington Post. Neil, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Good. Good to hear your voice. And I know we usually get you to pick your brain on football, and then I try to shamelessly use your knowledge to help my fantasy team, and I'll shoehorn a little hockey in there. But you speak fluent college basketball as well. Tonight, Champions Classic, tipping off at MSG. Pop's not in today. He's covering that. That's why you're hearing my sultry dulcet tones instead. Any one of those teams. You think that's going to emerge with the highest stock? Who do you think is going to really impress the most?
I think Kentucky has a chance. You guys were talking about Kentucky. They certainly have. It looks like Duke has some of the edge at some of the positions. I would say small forward, I'd probably give the nod to Wendell Moore. Power forward, probably give the nod to Benchero. I think if Kentucky can come out with a good show, I think everyone's expecting this game to be close. Then that kind of puts them at the near the top, only because they have. You know, I think whenever you're looking at these, you know, any type of rankings, whether they're subjective, objective, or what have you, whenever you're discussing them, like the name, like the blue bloods will always get the benefit of the doubt. And I think, you know, if Kentucky has a pretty good showing, you know, you mentioned Ty Washington, he certainly has been impressive during the exhibition wins. If he can show that, making the decision over Crichton was a good one for everybody. You know, I do think that Kentucky can get a lot of buzz early.
We had a texter text in, and it's Neil Knuckles Greenberg of the Washington Post on the V Show, Perrin Johnson, Nikki V filling in. Texter said that it's going to be interesting to see. You talked a lot about Kentucky there, which definitely will please the listening audience. But their opponent tonight, Duke, it's the farewell tour for Mike Krzyzewski.
He said, "Don't say that."
That's fair, but what is it? I don't want to play the whole conspiracy thing. Like the texter, one of our texters said that, you know, he's going to get all the whistles now more than he normally did. But is it going to become a distraction? How much of is each game going to be the matchup, and how much of it is going to be it's Coach K's last time playing whatever state?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of buzz. I mean, there's going to be a farewell tour whether he wants it or not, and rightfully so. I mean, he's obviously a legend in sports, not just college football, basketball. I think where we'll really start to see a hyper-focus is towards March Madness, right? Like
right.
The true last dance for him, assuming Duke makes it. You know, I think if they don't make it, that'll be a whole different circus. But, I think if Duke gets into the tournament, every game, like every single instance that they're able to get something about Mike Krzyzewski on air or in whatever is going to be taken. And, I certainly think, you know, some of the bigger games on the schedule, certainly, you know, the division games as we get later in the schedule are going to mean a whole lot. You know, those two, you know, the season finale against North Carolina at home is probably going to be just absolute madness. But I think, you know, it'll probably be big leading up to that, right? The first North Carolina game in North Carolina in February, and then a month later at home in March, and then you have March Madness. I think that's when we're going to really start to see something. As far as him getting the calls, look, Duke's always getting the calls. Like, it's not going to matter. I don't think we're gonna know or not if, you know, one or two makes a difference. But it's certainly going to seem, you know, hyper-focused now that everything, you know, that even is remotely 50-50 that goes, you know, Duke's way, is automatically going to be, well, yeah, it's for, you know, Coach K's last year. I don't think they will be able to escape that no matter what.
And when we're talking about this game tonight against Kentucky, obviously – fans here want Kentucky to win, and they're all about it, and they're worried about the calls. But more importantly, everybody's talking about Paolo Banchero. But when I look at this game, I'm really eager to see two guys, and I want to ask your opinion on both of these guys. One is a coach's son and former NBA player in A.J. Griffin, and the other is Mark Williams. And Louisville fans are really familiar with Mark Williams because last time Louisville saw Mark Williams, he had 23 points and 19 rebounds against us. Do you know, everybody's going to be worried about Paolo, but do you think there will be a great game from A.J. Griffin, especially as much as he's been around the game his whole life?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime that you have, you know, that sort of DNA, you know, it's going to be, it could be something special. I mean, he was what, ranked 16th in the 2021 class. So, I mean, he certainly knows how to play even beyond his namesake. And I think that, you know, he certainly has the ability to shine. And I do think that, you know, Mark Williams, you know, probably can go toe to toe with anybody, any other center in college basketball right now. You know, he played well in the exhibition the other day. So I think this is going to be a great game. I think that you know, there's a lot of stories in this game that you can pick apart, right? Number 10 versus number 9, Krzyzewski's last year. You know, Krzyzewski kind of embracing the one-and-done player, you know, that type of thing. I mean, you know, I think all of that can be looked at, and, you know, this has a chance to be a really good game for everybody involved. I think it's going to be a must-watch game to start the season.
He is Neil Knuckles-Greenberg at and Greenberg on Twitter from the Washington Post. Follow him at WashingtonPost.com, as well as the litany of great writers they have there. Going maybe a slightly bigger picture, moving from Duke to their conference, the ACC, and locally here, U of L. U of L picked, I believe, 6th in the preseason poll. Duke, the preseason favorite to win the conference. Any storylines jumping out at you there? I mean, it's a young, it's a new U of L team with a new coaching staff, a new style of play. Do you agree with that preseason 6th ranking, and how do you think conference play is going to shake out in this way too early prediction?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can certainly be, you know, competitive. I mean, if we're looking at, you know, where they're going to be in terms of, like, the overall picture, you know, I probably have Louisville, I don't know, maybe somewhere like the 30th to 35th best team in college basketball right now. They're probably, what, the 4th best team in the conference, right? Duke, Florida State, maybe Notre Dame. I think those might be, you know, the ones that we're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, this is, look, you know, with the ACC, especially when you, it really only takes like one or two big wins to really start to gain momentum. You know, they're certainly going to play, you know, obviously the ACC going forward. But, you know, I'm looking, they have like that game against Michigan State, which they can certainly look to start to peel away from the pack. You know, they're going to play Kentucky like right before Christmas. They kind of have like these big games scattered, right? Like at Michigan State early December, yeah. Then Kentucky later in the month, and then a couple weeks after that, they got Florida State. And then, you know, later in the month, they're playing Notre Dame, Virginia, and Duke, you know, and then back to North Carolina in a row, you know, Syracuse. I mean, so then, like, you know, if they can get like one or two of those big wins before the conference schedule starts happening, then, you know, that's when I think that they can really get some momentum. But, you know, let's circle back after that game against Michigan State, because I think that's the one that, you know, will be hyped in terms of who's going to come away as far as, you know, putting their stamp on it.
And PJ, that's Chris Mack's first game back from his six-game suspension. So, yeah, that'll an added wrinkle there.
Yes, and that's one of the things I was going to get ready to get into. How do you think this team will adjust or won't adjust with Chris Mack being around for basically all of practice at the beginning of the season, and then he has to have no contact with the team virtually for like 4 weeks, it seems like. So he's not going to be able to be there for Southern, Furman, Navy, Detroit Mercy, and then they got the game in the Bahamas against Mississippi State, and then if they win that game, they'll play the winner of Maryland or Richmond. So I'm really eager to see, do you think there will be any major adjustments that this team will have to make before, you know, while he's gone, and then when he comes back? What is there anything that, because he can have no contact with anybody on this roster from a coach or a player?
Yeah, I mean, they've known about it though since August, like late August. So I think that any sort of preparations have already been made for this six game stretch. I wouldn't say it's a daunting six game stretch. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, which one of those, aside from Mississippi State and the Bahamas, are you really worried about? You should be able to win by double digits in each of those games if you or I were coaching. So I think that, you know, it really comes down to, you know, the coaching staff. And, I mean, the assistant coach has been around Mac for, what, 10 years or so, going back to Xavier. So he's going to be at the helm. I don't think, you know, there's not going to be much that's going to change. I think it'll be, you know, from a coaching perspective, philosophy, all that stuff, it'll be a non-issue. And like you said, I mean, they get him back in time for the Michigan State game. That's their first real test anyway. So everything really is just going to be a prologue to that. And then, you know, I'm sure he'll come in and everything will be fine.
He is Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post joining us here on the V Show. Moving to the NFL, a couple of local storylines. Lamar Jackson over the weekend, the first player in NFL history, 2,000 pass yards, 600 rush yards through eight games of a season, had three scores in the air, also threw two picks. I mean, it always seems like with every new accolade Lamar gets, there seems to be a criticism. And everyone here, it's like a quiet place around here, Neil, like the monsters that can hear everything. And that's kind of how, you know, the 502 is if there's any Lamar criticism. So there always has to be some sort of debate. I personally think he's amazing. But does he deserve any extra credit, I guess, this season? I mean, he's putting up these crazy numbers. Is that a reflection of the fact that he doesn't really, I mean, he has an incredible amount of injuries piled up for his team? Is it, I guess here, with all these accolades and all these numbers, is anything jumping out that should be celebrated, or is there anything that should be a little worrisome?
No, I think he's, I mean, you can argue he's the best offensive player in the league. I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook, you know, he got injured. Obviously, he was carrying, you know, a lot of the freight. You know, Christian McCaffrey certainly does his share. But, you know, we put such a premium on the passing game, and rightfully so. You look at how the NFL has transitioned into more and more of a passing game every year. And, you know, the knock on Lamar Jackson has always been he can't throw. Well, then he has a couple games with five touchdowns. And, you know, already he has 600 yards rushing and, you know, two rushing touchdowns. He's already thrown for 13 touchdowns. You know, I'm not really sure what else anybody wants him to do. I mean, like, what is the, you know, what's the knock around him, that his teammates get injured? I mean, I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand what the, if someone was trying to deride Lamar Jackson, like, what is your starting point? Like, what is your basis for the argument? I mean, you know, he throws the ball, he runs the ball. What else, you know, what else do you want him to do?
It's the idea of, and look, I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, but it's, I guess there's this idea that, look, he's putting up crazy numbers, but is he really that elite? I mean, he throws three touchdowns, he also throws two picks. Is he really that good, or is he just basically the only, he's getting all these numbers because he doesn't have anybody else? I guess that, well, I have a hard time finding, you know, finding it, what criticism, what leg people are standing on, but there always seems to be some.
Right, but that's the argument, right? Well, he has to do it all because there's no one else. Well, you know, we've seen NFL teams game plan for that, right? We've seen NFL teams game plan for one big playmaker, shut them down, and just leave it to everybody else. So if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to shut down Lamar Jackson, like if all your efforts focused on him, and if this is what the NFL's got in terms of the defense, like this is how they stop him, you know, if you're slowing Lamar Jackson down from an uber elite player to an MVP candidate, I don't think it's going as well as the defenders might think it is. So, I mean, if that's the argument that, you know, he has to do it all because he has nobody else, well, he is. You know, averaging 75 yards a game on the ground, you know, I mean, that just with the longest run, a 31-yard run, I mean, you know, you're not stopping him. And if that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I look around and I hear the arguments against, you know, Lamar Jackson. And, you know, let's face it, if every team was able to get a Lamar Jackson under center, I think we would see the league take another cosmic shift towards that, right? I mean, they've already trying to get, right, you know, these dual-threat quarterbacks like Josh Allen, right? I mean, you see how much success he has and how much strain it puts on a defense to have to plan for that play action or that, you know, RPO and everything else that comes with it. I think it'd be terrifying if I'm a defensive coordinator and I got to somehow figure out a way to stop Lamar Jackson, whether he has all his, you know, all his weapons around him or not, because he just seems to get the job done.
Yes, and when you talk about guys and weapons, I've always wanted Lamar to have more weapons. Obviously, the kid they drafted recently this year just came back. I can't think of his name right now. But I want to ask you this. Where do you see, speaking of NFL, where do you see Odell Beckham ending up? Personally, I would love for him to go play with Lamar because Lamar hasn't had a dynamic playmaker. In my opinion, I know Hollywood Brown, he's like here today, gone tomorrow. His hands work some days and some days they don't. So is there any possible chance you see him going to the Ravens? And if not, where is his most likely destination going to be?
Yeah, I saw a lot of chatter that maybe he's bound for the Seahawks. I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know where bringing in Odell Beckham at the halfway mark of the season makes a whole lot of sense. Maybe if you have a big injury or a big situation like they do in Las Vegas, right? I mean, they have some holes at wideout they need to fill. It just seems like it's a difficult situation under the best of circumstances to have, you know, Odell Beckham on your roster. It just doesn't seem to work out. So I don't know, you know, especially with like Baltimore, who's, you know, obviously a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender. They're in the hunt to win the AFC North, which they're leading right now. Like, how much do you want to upset the apple cart there? And, you know, if we know one thing, Odell Beckham wants the ball, right? I mean, and with Lamar Jackson, that's not always an option because, you know, we just talked about how much he does himself. So, you know, they already have a playmaker at wide out. And I get that, you know, if you have another one out there, then, you know, then you can't double cover and what have you. But, you know, Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, you know, Rashad Bateman, I mean, those are three really good pass catchers. And then you add in a guy like Devontae Freeman who can catch passes, right? Tyson Williams. So I think that they have what they need. I don't necessarily think that Odell Beckham is going to be the, you know, any type of solution for Baltimore at this time.
Well, he is Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post. Couple more to get before we get you out of here. Neil, always appreciate the time. Check him out on Twitter at @ngreenberg and at thewashingtonpost.com. But you are my hockey guy too, so I have to shoehorn a hockey question in there. Your guy, Alex Ovechkin, just passing Brett Hull for number 4 all-time in goals. The Golden Brett saying that of Ovechkin, he's fun to watch. I wouldn't say he's one of a kind until he possibly passes Wayne Gretzky. Then he can be one of a kind, but he is part of a group of guys that could score just to keep doing it like he is. You have to tip your hat to him. He's a great player. He's on pace. I mean, currently, if you had to put odds on him to catch the great one, what would you put those as?
Oh, I would say it's like a 20-30% chance. I mean, I think, you know, it's actually gone up over the past couple of years. I've done a couple of stories on this, but you know, there's the thing is, there's never been a drop off, right? Like, he's never had a down year in goal scoring. I mean, last year it was a truncated season.
Right.
Still had 24 goals in 45 games. You know, the year before led the league 48 goals in 68 games. He had 33 goals in 2016-17. That's kind of, and 32 goals in, you know, a couple years prior to that. I mean, a 30 goal season is kind of his low watermark. And that would be an amazing season for almost any other hockey player.
Right.
So I really think it comes down to longevity. I've always said that if he plays till he's like 40, you know, a couple more years, he's going to have a real good shot. And we're seeing this year, like, there's no signs of him slowing down. 11 goals in 12 games, leading the league, scoring them in bunches. You know, I think that he's got everything, you know, he's got everything going for him. To do this, and you know, he's averaging 5 shots a game. I've always said, you know, until his shots per game start to dip below 3, you know, he's just not going to have, he's not a finesse guy, he's a power guy, right?
Right.
He's not like this sharpshooter or this guy that just kind of hangs out at the net that can tip him in and only needs a couple shots a game to get things going. His thing has always been volume.
Right.
And, you know, his shot volume went down from 4.5 shots to 4 shots over the past 2 years. This year it's back up to 5. You know, that to me signals we could see a 45-50 goal campaign. You know, and that'll put him right on track to get this thing done by the time he, you know, wraps up this current contract with Washington. You know, I firmly believe he's going to do it until there's a season where, you know, he's like at, you know, 20 goals or below. I really think that's the only thing that would put it in jeopardy at this point.
Well, he is Neil Knuckles Greenberg. I'll get you out of here on this one. I'll give you your it's your choice. Yeah, you also
dealer's choice
here. Well, I haven't brought you on with something wacky now 2 weeks in a row, so I have to make sure that, you know, you don't get a little complacent on the wackiness. Got to keep you on your toes. So your choices are, you can either give us a thought yesterday. A massive amount of the ESPN Louisville crew went to go watch WWE Raw, and it was a good time, but a lot of us are old school wrestling fans, and it was bittersweet because it was still fun. It was a great time. You got to kind of, I mean, wrestling, it's like the circus. I mean, you just have to, you know, it is what it is. It's colorful, it's fun, it's, you know, everything. But it's also, it's been a drop off to what it was when we were kids. So that it was just kind of one of those, like, wow, we felt a little old. So there's that. You know, if you have a comment about WWE or wrestling, I by all means jump in. But you're also a horse racing guy, and I feel like, you know, we should tell you that we collectively kind of did a listener and ESPN personality syndicate to go in on the Breeders' Cup and lost about $18,000. So it was an unmitigated disaster, but it was still fun, or as much fun as you can have losing $18,000. But I know you're a horseman. Did you have any takeaways from the Breeders' Cup? And I guess, you know, a thought on both of those as you get out of here.
Okay, well, I don't watch wrestling, so I'll give a thought on the horse racing.
Okay, there we go. Fair enough.
I thought what happened at Del Mar on Friday with the last race of the day, in terms of the horse. I don't know if you caught it, but there was a horse, Modern Games, that was the favorite. It was the last leg of a lot of the pick X sequences, pick 4, pick 5, pick 6. And the horse gets in there, they scratch the horse, so all your betting interests now go away. And then, like, a minute or two later, they re-enter the horse for purse only, and then the horse ends up winning. So all those people that had the tickets connected to Modern Games ended up losing their ticket, their money. It comes out later that it was a scratch that was that probably shouldn't have been. A lot of things went into it. But I think Del Mar just absolutely messed that one up to the point where I don't think they should ever get a Breeders' Cup event again.
Wow.
But I think Saturday's races were okay. I mean, a lot of the favorites, you know, didn't do much. And then you have the last race of the day in the Classic. For some reason, everyone thought that, you know, Nick's Go being allowed to go on the lead for the first time, going 1.25 miles, and just having the lead all to himself was a good idea. And then he just romped. I mean, did it look like just everyone was content to be in second place? So I think that, you know, this year's Breeders' Cup from a wagering standpoint was very difficult. But I think, you know, they need to do a lot more to protect the bettors for horse racing, because what happened on Friday, I think, was a debacle. I will say you were not the only people to lose money on the Breeders' Cup, because I saw a lot of that going around.
Well, there's about 18,000 reasons for us to be sad about it, but that makes it feel a little bit, this takes the sting away a little bit. So, Neil, always appreciate the time, my man. Yeah, hopefully we can do it again next week. And, yeah, I suggest maybe you watch a little wrestling, just, you know, just a little bit. Just a little.
All right, I'll give it a try.
my man. Thanks, Neil, for the time, buddy. He's Neil Knuckles Greenberg at N Greenberg, one of our favorites. Follow him and all his fine colleagues, including formerly of Louisville, Jerry Brewer, all the fine folks over at the Washington Post at WashingtonPost.com. So always have a lot of fun visiting with him. He talks all kinds of sports. We covered a lot of bases there.
A lot
of college basketball, NFL, NHL, even some Breeders' Cup. So, always have fun with him. All right, let's take our top of the hour break. It's the V Show. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. Next hour, Jeff Greer will join us about 2:30, give us his thoughts on tonight's U of L tip-off with Southern. We also have sound from Bobby V up at the Champions Classic. He caught up with Bill Self and Tom Izzo. So we have those interviews. We'll play that. All that and more, your text welcome, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. It's the V Show on a tip-off Tuesday, ESPN 680 105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.